Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Game and Fish meeting. As you know, some of us are appearing telephonically, and some of us, as you can see, are spaced so that we're socially acceptable, and the commissioners are all here, so welcome. Before we start, as we do in every meeting, we have the pledge. Kent Comadilla, once again, has agreed to lead us in the pledge, and if you would do that, Mr. Kent, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If we could just remain standing, the governor has asked us to announce a moment of silence. Flags have been ordered to be at half-staff in honor and recognition of half-staff presidential proclamation honoring the victims of the corona pandemic on May 22, 2020, Memorial Day on May 25, 2020, to remember the men and women who laid down their lives to defend and serve our country. And I'd personally like to wish the folks in Tucson who are suffering with the fires right now the best that we can have. So thank you, everybody. We can start. I'd like all the commissioners, starting right to left, to introduce themselves. My name is Eric Sparks. I'm from Tucson, Arizona.
Good morning, James Coogan, Howard Payson, Arizona.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and everyone else. Kurt Davis from Phoenix.
Ty, you want to introduce your staff?
Mr. Chairman, Tiger Aid Director. We have Jim Odenkirk, General Counsel, here at the podium. The rest of our staff are in their office going from there, and we have a few that will be coming to the podium to present some items later today.
Thank you. We have a consent agenda, I believe, to start with.
Mr. Chairman, before we begin, I'll introduce the agenda. We'll be operating off an agenda revision number one, dated June 3rd, 2020. This meeting is being webcast to enable the public to view the proceedings online. However, the webcast is non-interactive. As you alluded to at the beginning, in line with CDC guidelines and White House gating criteria for phase one, we don't have any public present today. However, members of the public may view the meeting at our website, azgfd.gov/commissioncam, or may listen to the meeting by calling 602-666-0783 with the access code of 280-046-234#, which is also on the website. Members of the public wanting to speak to the commission on a specific agenda item can call 602-962-8790 and follow the prompts, which will include saying your name, where you're calling from, and the agenda item you'd like to speak about. And then when we get to that item, we will get to you in the order that you received. Copies of any presentations, documents, et cetera, discussed during the meeting are available on the department's website. With that, Mr. Chairman, we'll move to agenda item number one, which is our consent agenda. We have one item on the consent agenda, and that is the approved the FY 2022 proposed budget and FY 2021 modification. Does the commission wish to remove that from the consent agenda?
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Carries 5-0. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, agenda item number two is a first read item. The commission may choose to take action on first read items as needed or may direct the department to place the first read item on the consent agenda for approval at our next commission meeting. Item two is Horseshoe Ranch Research Area Property Use License Agreement. Our presenter is Clay Crowder, Habitat Chief.
Thank you, Mr. Director.
Morning, Clay.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. It's
good
to see you in person.
Clay.
It's been a while. Just go ahead and get started. So I guess while it's slides loading, essentially this is a renewal agreement with Desert Botanical Gardens and Northern Arizona University. This is to provide access to the Horseshoe Ranch property for the purpose of experimental cottonwood gallery garden, so to speak, that provides habitat for yellow-billed cuckoo and is part of a larger collaborative effort in the state of Arizona, and this is part of
speaking of the research. Cougar, has Commissioner Davis had any influence in your decision to present that this morning?
Mr. Chairman.
I was going to mention the state's premier university. As
thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I wonder how I'm going to get caught in the crosshairs between these universities here. And in short, so it's, as I stated, continues for developing partnership on the property. It's consistent with the goals and the management. And I guess since I was hoping there we'd have some slides and no slides. Okay. Is there any specific questions I can answer for the commission? Otherwise, I would have recommendations.
Commissioner Davis?
I just have one question, and I realize this is an extension of a current, and those of us that have been there have seen some of the activity that's going on there. These areas are basically more on the perimeter of the ranch.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Davis, that is correct. In fact, that was one of the slides I'd hope to share. So it would be on the southern and the western portion. So along the Agua Fria, which would be on the west side, if you're like at the ranch house, and then along the southern portion of the fence or the field down there.
Yep.
Okay.
But not a change of footprint. It's just to continue the existing.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Davis, that is correct. It's just continuing. So I think this would be going into, at the expiration of this would be 8 years of research that are being conducted associated with the Cottonwood Gallery.
In the research, there's obviously the research component, and then there's a value in
there we go,
a non-research value in the sense of you're providing habitat specifically for species that you're dealing with, endangered species. That
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Davis, that is correct. In fact, you'll see on the left side of the screen there, Area 1, so that's right along the Agua Fria, and that's where yellow-billed cuckoo have been observed as part of that. And so just for a point of reference, the Horseshoe Ranch property was acquired to with heritage funds to conserve endangered species. Chub were one of them, as well as other avian species. So this supports the management goals for that.
Correct. Thank you very much.
Your recommendation?
So the department would recommend that the commission direct the department to place this item on the consent agenda for the next regular commission meeting.
Mr. Chairman, since we don't have a commission meeting scheduled for next month and this is an ongoing license agreement, I would move that we approve the license agreement as presented this morning.
All in favor?
I'll second it.
I'd second that.
Okay, Mr. Guyler.
Any opposition? All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Carries 5-0. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, appreciate it. It's good seeing you again.
Thank you, Clay. Item number 3 is update on commission awards. Presenter is Kent Comodina, Special Assistant to the Director.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Good to see you all.
Morning, Kent.
Welcome
morning.
Back. Morning. And it's the first day you all wore long pants in a long time, probably. So. Well, I don't know for sure. I haven't looked back there.
Actually, pants was a word.
So what we have provided to you in your materials the list of the suggested awards for the 2021, well, they're 2020, but it'll be presented in January of 2021 at the Commission Awards Banquet. They are the same as they were for the last go-round. I don't think I need to read them all to you, but I can if you wish. Before we, are there any questions about any of those or suggestions, changes? I know you had one shot at looking at them, but.
Apparently not. So.
Well, Mr.
Commissioner Davis?
I just think as a reminder, and mostly for Dr. Guyler, is that we have modified this list. We've removed, I think, 3 over the past several years because we kind of combined them. Mm-hmm. So we've trimmed it down to a number that kind of demonstrates all the different aspects of the department and the mission and the purpose. So there was a process where we did actually go through and evaluate, and a few of them went by the wayside. I do have a question related. The commission has an option to nominate as well, right? Sometimes we don't talk about it. I mean, obviously we're asking for nominations, but a commissioner can nominate individuals as well, and I think sometimes we forget that, that's, you know, as a commissioner, if you see people that have been performing above and beyond and we want to consider honoring them, I think maybe that's an important piece.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Davis, yes. And many of these can have more than one winner, if you will, and so they can be plugged in as you wish, pretty much. So, okay. So yes. And we have, just for informational purposes, we have put some standard work into place and timeline so that we make sure we get sufficient amount of awards for every category in time to consider them in September, for you to consider and select in September in Greer. So I have a recommendation, if you wish.
Please.
The department recommends the commission vote to adopt the categories for the 2020 Commission Awards.
Second.
I move that we approve the awards as presented.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Carries 5-0. Thank you, Kent.
Mr. Chairman, item 4 is election of Commission Chair and Vice Chair for July 1st, 2020 through June 30th, 2021, and revisions to and appointments to standing committees by Chairman-elect. Presenters Kent Comedina again.
Now comes the fun part. Or not, depending. This is the time when the Commission will select, by way of election, their Chairman and Vice Chairman for the next fiscal year, so beginning July 1st. The first meeting in that time period is the early August one in Flag. And the new chairman, unless you keep the same chairman, who's shaking his head no, will be at the first meeting. So,
other than the workshop, we have this workshop.
What's that?
We have the workshop.
We have the workshop. Yeah. It's true. Sorry about that. Yes, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Davis, Commissioner Davis, there is the workshop July 24th through 27th. No action will be taken, but a new person would be the chair at that point.
Any comments, recommendations?
I could make a motion.
You can.
I would like to make a motion to nominate Commissioner Kurt Davis as the chairman for next year, and Commissioner Bill Brake is the vice chair for next year.
Any seconds?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Carries 5-0. Thank you.
Congratulations, Mr. Chairman and Vice Chair.
Thank you.
You don't get the big applause because no one's here.
Hear the roar of the crowd.
The roar of the crowd. The deafening silence.
People my family would be very happy.
Uh-oh, Kurt's chair again. there was a rumor of a coup, but apparently that was squashed.
No coups. There.
The happiest guy is not Bill Brake. All right. All seriousness aside, sorry. So the incoming chair one of his first responsibilities is to appoint individual commissioners to the committees or subcommittees, as you will, committees of the commission. And I believe Commissioner Davis has conferred with you all about that. And we have a list here, which you also have. So the recommended committees and chairs, I'll just go through those real quick, not through the whole duties. Mr. Chairman Lacked, you can go through that if you wish, but the recommended committees are the Habitat and Landowner Relations Committee, which would include HPAC and HPC. Commissioner Brake would be chair. Commissioner Guggenhauer would be vice chair. Public Affairs and Marketing, Commissioner Davis, chair. Commissioner Sparks, vice chair. Budget, 10 and 10, and Commission Priorities, Commissioner Sparks, chair. Commissioner Brake, Vice Chair, Strategic Initiative, Sportfish, and Commission Priorities, be chaired by Commissioner Guggenhauer.
Properties.
And Commission Properties. My bad, sorry. I'm out of practice. Commissioner Guggenhauer is chair. Commissioner Geiler would be vice chair. Hunt Orders, Guidelines, and Rules, Commissioner Geiler would be chair, and Commissioner Davis, vice chair. So the commission may vote to establish these committees if they choose.
Do we have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion, and I want to thank the commissioners for their willingness to serve on subcommittees. I think they're an important part of this process. It allows the department to have meaningful interface with the commission between meetings. It allows for subject matter, the increase of subject matter intelligence of, you know, of our commissioners, which I think is helpful in the long term. I've tried to lay out for you, you know, obviously specific responsibilities and charges for the committees, and always believe that this is an integral part of commission responsibility. So I thank the chairs of each committee and the vice chairs for poking the chairs on those committees and keeping the process moving. But I'm really excited about the work that can be completed in the next year. I think, and you'd notice we've added Sportfish as a something very specific in the subcommittees, and I think that's incredibly important. We obviously, a lot of times we deal with hunting guidelines, you know, and hunt orders regularly, but making sure that Sportfish is also a top consideration of the commission as we go from month to month. The commission properties specifically, I think there's some potential exciting opportunities as we think down the road about best uses and practices for some of those commission properties and the opportunities that exist there. You know that marketing has been an emphasis for the commission for a long period of time, and based on some of the reports we have on license sales and other things, I think those efforts are fruitful and need to continue to be fruitful. And then the complex matter of habitat and landowner relations and the intersection between those. I know Commissioner Brake knows that as well or better than anybody on the commission. And really trying to, you know, I hope that we really spend time trying to focus, and the committee does, on how we really move and strategically evaluate our totality of all our resources in this area to really inspire and move large landscape restoration projects that have implications for landowners, have implications for sportsmen, for access, and obviously most importantly for wildlife itself. I hope, you know, I think that committee has an opportunity to create a much stronger nexus of all of those resources and push the department and our constituencies to think in even broader, more strategic focus about how we can truly impact large landscapes over a period of time. So those are really and then the Hunt Guidelines and Orders and Rules Committee is, you know, in the weeds, Chairman Geiler. I mean, that's where the rubber meets the road, right, on implementation of a lot of different things the department does. So I'm excited about the process of the subcommittees, and I appreciate people being willing to chair and spend some time on these efforts. So with that, I guess I'll make a motion to approve the committees. And
if I could just make a comment, I'd like to thank Commissioner Davis for his engagement. I mean, to be able to talk about each of these groups, and especially a new one like the strategic initiatives, to be able to paint that vision of where we think where that wants to go and what's all involved in that, it's a big help to have that dialogue and be able to have a vision going forward. So I appreciate you seeking our inputs on those.
I have a comment also, and I think we need to thank Ty and his staff for all the work they've done. We have increased license sales for the last 3 or 4 years. The revenues are still continuing to rise. They've obviously done a great job and are still doing a good job, and we want to keep them headed in the right direction because that's what keeps the commission going. So I'd like to thank Ty and his staff for all their hard work and for the increase in license sales every year.
Could I make a comment?
Sure, of course.
Thank you. I don't envy Commissioner Davis. We're in a new world. I don't know what's going to happen in the next 2 to 3 years. In fact, I don't know what's going to happen next week with the COVID virus, how it's going to affect our budgets, how it's going to affect our wildlife, how it's going to affect our customers. But I think that this commission is in for some landmark decisions that will be brought in front of us. And I think, Kirk, you're up to the task, and I think you've got the support of the rest of us. But I think we as a department and commissioners are going to be challenged this year to try to take care of the wildlife and the sportsmen in this state, and I'm glad you're our leader on doing that.
Chairman Sparks, please. I'd like to make a comment about how I appreciate Commissioner Davis seeking my input and taking the new kid by the hand and leading him through the maze that we seem to be walking on a day-to-day basis. I appreciate the way that he suggested that I would be the chair of the Hunt Order Guidelines and Rules Committee, not asking but instead telling. I appreciate being volunteered. It kind of reminded me of some days gone by in the past. But looking forward to working with the commission and where we're headed as the new guy. The vision is that the commission has as a whole, from talking with the four of you, is reflects a depth that each of you bring to the table from very differing perspectives, and I think that only deepens a department with the staff that we have with Director Gray and Mr. Comadina and the folks that are sitting in here today talking with Don about some of our land things that we're going to be talking about coming up. The commission as a whole continues to engage the public in a way that for somebody that is new to the commission and has only put in for deer, elk, sheep, tag, and snipe tags in the past, I can just say that this is a dynamic department, and with your leadership and the incoming leadership, it's going to be a fun ride, but I look forward to working with each and every one of you because the professionalism is unbelievable, and it's going to only raise the bar each and every year. Thank you.
We need a motion.
Motion to approve the committees, the chairs and vice chairs, as listed in the document in front of you.
I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Carries 5-0. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, that brings us to item number 5, which is proposed dates and locations of Arizona Game and Fish meetings for 2020, 2021. In January 2022. Kent's our presenter again.
Thank you, Mr. Director. But before we get to that, just briefly want to go back and offer my thanks to Chairman Sparks. He's been a great friend over the last few years. We've enjoyed a lot of work and fun together, and I think what you presented here as a commissioner and as chairman is that balance of it's serious, but you don't have to take yourself seriously, but a very serious job. And again, thank you personally for that, and thank you for your efforts on the commission. So,
thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I too, Eric.
He's had the enjoyment of having to deal with commission meetings being changed dramatically, you know, over the last few months, and that's tough to do, and I always appreciate the laughter I get on the other end of the phone. Actually, I really do. We always share a few laughs, and I really appreciate that, Mr. Chairman. The style in which you lead is great. And a lot, I learn a lot from that myself. So I appreciate the humor and then the directness.
Thank you. You brought a lot of wisdom to this this community and our chairmanship with your associations and your friends. And
did a pretty good job for a lawyer.
Yeah.
And for a U of A guy.
Well, I didn't go to NAU, that's why.
Thank
you. Right. Item, hit us,
item number five is proposed dates and locations for the future meetings. Those are also listed in your material. I'll just hit them very, very quickly. We are going for July 2020. We're going to have a workshop. That will be in Region 1. The August meeting is in Region 2, as was previously selected by you guys last year. September, Region 1, that is the same. The November workshop, I think that's Region 2. Is that Region 3? The mountain is 2, right? Whichever it is, it's up there on the strip. Okay. And so 21, the banquet was already selected, and that is in January, and the meeting will be here. February, Region 5, March, Region 3, April, Region 6, excuse me, here at headquarters, May, Region 3, June, Region 6, August, Region 2, September, Region 1, November, a workshop location to be determined, December, Region 4, and then January, back here in Phoenix, and the date for the 2022 banquet would be January 21 and 22, presumably somewhere here in Phoenix, but there's no contract yet for that. So, any questions about
Mr.
that?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Kent, the towns that we were not able to visit because of the COVID-19, where we had to cancel the meetings,
yes.
Are they included in this new schedule to make sure that those communities will get the economic impact of our travel?
They are not.
Payson?
I can give you...
Yeah.
Tucson's not in there.
We're going back to Tucson next year.
But I'm just saying...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to the extent possible, yes, and some new towns. Still trying with the commission belief to spread it around as much as possible in new places, smaller places that have accommodations that are acceptable, with the caveat, or not, depending. Any other questions on that? I mean, I could go through the list of potential towns.
No, that's okay. But if you like. As long as in the next year or two, we make sure we get back to those.
Yeah, we're going to Payson. Yeah, come on.
Yeah, I saw that, and that's what kind of sparked the question.
Still in Arizona.
That's what he's asking, right?
I think the attempt has been, and appropriately, has been to absolutely return to the rural communities, which we have a dramatic impact on from an economic standpoint, to get those caught up. You know, those of us that live in the urban areas have more economic opportunities a lot of times than our rural communities. And so, and then in the new community side, we've tried to also, for example, I know they're working on it. When we go to southern Arizona, we're attempting to get down into the Elgin area, because that's an area that we haven't been. So those kinds of discussions, and I, you know, give the department credit. Some of these aren't easy, but it's okay. Even if it's a little more difficult, the impact that we can have on those communities is important. And it's important for them to know that their wildlife agency is thinking about them in times like this. And so I think as we have those conversations and finalize, that will be the leading principles of where we're trying to get to.
Well,
so I'd make a motion to approve the...
Yeah. To adopt the schedule.
Adopt the calendar for through January of 2022.
Commissioner Brake? Second?
Yes, I did.
Sorry. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Carries 5-0. Thank you, Kurt.
I would make a quick comment on base what you said. Your comments are so true. When you come into one of these rural communities, you're coming into a group of people that deal with our customers and deal with the actual on the ground. And I think we need to have meetings in Tucson and Phoenix and other places. But the impact that you have in a Williams or Sonoyta or something like that is probably more than we understand ourselves. A restaurant that sells out down there doesn't do that very often. So thank you for thinking that way.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, thank you. Good to see you all again.
Thank you, Ken.
Mr. Chairman, that brings us to our time certain, which is 11, so if you're okay with it, we will skip ahead to some other items. Items 6 and 7 are both tied to the time certain. Okay, so we'll...
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Yes.
We'll move on to item 8, if Jen thinks that'll work. Item 8 is a petition by Mr. Alan Clark to be allowed to purchase point guard after the fact. Presenter is Jen Stewart, Branch Chief for Customer Support and Sales.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Director. Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Mr. Clark applied for the 2020 spring draw and was successfully drawn for hunt number 4001, valid April 24th through 30th and May 8th through 21st in Unit 1 for bearded turkey. He did not purchase point guard as part of the original application. Mr. Clark indicated that after the COVID-19 pandemic occurred, his job was classified as critical, and beginning in mid-March, his employer canceled his vacation. He states he was unable to hunt due to circumstances beyond his control. Mr. Clark is requesting to purchase point guard after the fact. Does the Commission wish to hear the petition?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Davis. Yes.
We have several of these, and the one thing that they all have in common is the actual absolute basis of which this Commission, working with the Department, established the point guard opportunity in the first place. I've been on the commission long enough to remember the days when there was no such tool available to our constituents. And when we created it, was for exactly these circumstances, which is your job tells you you can't leave, you get sick, you break your leg, family member passes away, all those things that all of us face in life. The unexpected, that was the entire purpose for the creation of point guard. We didn't mandate it. We don't require it. It's a $5 decision that's made by everyone when they put in on the draws. And so if you were to ever consider being able to say, oh, you can buy it after the fact, after you need it, then none of the customers, the thousands and thousands of customers, constituents that choose to purchase point guard, you would devalue their decision and you would devalue the absolute reason why we established this. So, you know, I'm one of those ones who feels very strongly. Again, most states, you don't have this option. We're one of the few places, maybe the only place, that this product is available to our constituents, and one that I'm extraordinarily proud of as a commissioner, because we created a product with the department that allows people to be able to protect whatever may come their way, including entering into the draw thinking that when they made mistakes, it protects them in that scenario as well. So from my perspective, all of these do not merit consideration. So I make a motion.
Chairman Sparks, if it would be helpful and germane to the motion that Kurt's about to make, maybe we could have you refresh the commission's mind like you did with me when you were hand-holding me on the phone about the rule regarding point guard as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I might defer to Jim on this, but we do have a provision in rule that speaks to the ability to petition for reinstatement of bonus points. And so I'm probably going to pinch to you because I know you know that a little bit better than me. But I think initially when the product was offered, it was a new product, and folks were figuring out how that product worked and what it allowed folks to do. I think Commissioner Davis is probably correct in that the product itself has been around for quite some time now. And so I think the familiarity of that product has probably grown, and folks are aware of what it provides them should they choose to purchase it at time of application.
So I could add a little more information. So after, I don't want to belabor the issue, but after 9/11, we had a lot of people who weren't able to use their tags for a variety of reasons. Either they were deployed or reserve officers in the military and deployed. They were first responders. Travel was restricted. And we didn't have any provision for people to seek any remedy for reinstatement of bonus points or et cetera. So after that time, the commission adopted a rule that allowed for reinstatement of bonus points but limited that opportunity to certain individuals who had to respond to emergency situations. And the rule said that in no other circumstances can you seek reinstatement of bonus points. So after the commission adopted Point Guard, there were some people who, for various reasons, were seeking reinstatement of bonus points. But because our rule didn't allow for them to do so under their circumstances, they sought an alternative approach, was to allow them to purchase Point Guard after the fact. And I think early on the commission was receptive to those requests because Point Guard was new. It was a new program. Not everybody knew about it, didn't understand the program. And the commission allowed for a few petitions to come forward and permitted people to purchase Point Guard after the fact. The program has been in existence for a number of years now, and it's widely understood. People know about the program, and so I think the commission is at the point where do you want to continue to allow people to use that approach of purchasing Point Guard after the fact now that the program is fairly well established? And that's a decision that the commission needs to make collectively and provide direction to the department going forward. Because up to this point, we have continued to present these petitions to you because we haven't had direction to do otherwise. So that gives a little bit of a historical context in terms of how we got to this point with these petitions. So in the absence of the opportunity to purchase Point Guard after the fact, there would be no remedy available because commission rules prohibit a petition simply for reinstatement of bonus points unless you qualify under our existing rules for such reinstatement.
Thank you, Mr. Odenkirk.
Any other questions?
I make a motion to deny the petition.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Carries 5-0. Thank you.
Can I make a comment, Mr. Chairman?
Commissioner, go ahead.
I think that perhaps in our hunting guide regulations, we need to be a little bit more specific as to how the Point Guard works and what we will do and won't do. And I want to also, I believe that what we're saying is if we make a mistake as a department, that is a different situation. Am I correct on that?
We've always dealt with those. So if there somebody
that's not changing
no.
at all, and I just want to make sure that that everybody understood that.
I would argue to you, Commissioner Brake, that it is pretty clear what point guard provides. I mean, I think it actually is well done, but that's my perspective. If you read, you know, and you're given multiple opportunities to select point guard, and we have a growing number of people every year that do. So I think the department has done and obviously these folks know what point guard is because they'll petition to be able to buy point guard after the fact. So they had to have known what point guard would do because they want to buy it after the fact. I mean, and if you think about it in a logical conclusion, I would love to buy my homeowner's insurance after the fact. From my perspective, I think if you can click on for information, you can. It's in the booklet. I think it is pretty clear.
And in all due respect, Commissioner Davis, apparently we still keep getting these petitions
because they have the option to do it.
Well, that leads me to my next point. My next point is, I mean, are we going to bite the bullet and go through this conversation all the time, or are we going to take care of this thing based on what you said, that it's all very clear?
I'm with you 100%. I didn't know we had an option to say don't bring these petitions. I'm all for that.
Yeah. I'm not against the petition per se. I'm against that everybody knows that before they come in here, and it puts us on the spot that's not fair to our customers or us. We need to clarify this, and I think we need to have a motion from somebody to. And I'm not exactly sure how to handle that, Jim, what the motion needs to be said, or I would make it myself. Maybe somebody else does if they agree with me. I think we need to. I believe we need to clear this up now.
Commissioner, any other comments?
I think that the incoming guidelines chairman just wrote that down, so we can have a discussion regarding how to change just some of the verbiage, maybe director and in the regs.
This is an action item.
Well, it's always hard to assign it to the subcommittee. Carve out the exception than the rule. So be careful when you get into that you don't put yourself in a corner.
If I could just add a comment.
And I think we're overcomplicating this, but I'm...
You know, the idea of allowing people to purchase point guard after the fact is a remedy that isn't provided in any rule. It was an equitable remedy the commission adopted early on to address cases that where people didn't really understand what point guard was. And now that we've moved past that, I'm not sure that remedy still is appropriate in these cases. But unless we get direction from the commission on these petitions in the future, we're going to continue to bring them to you in the future.
I'm ready to give direction.
Jim, would
I am too.
Mr. Chairman, Jim, would it be more appropriate to go through the next ones we have on the agenda before?
Of course, we need to address the petitions that are before you today.
Yeah.
My comments are related to future petitions.
Well, why don't we do this? We have to go through these because they obviously are forwarded that, so I'm not. But why don't we just simply have the rule guidelines and rules committee talk with Mr. Odenkirk, and then we come back in August and give commission approved direction?
That's fine. Also, on these petitions, I don't know if any of the petitioners are on the phone or wanting to speak, but I think we just need to make sure that we give them an opportunity to speak if they want.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, and Ben, by the way, certainly let us know. I don't think we... Oh, he will put it up on the screen if we do. Yeah. So I think that brings us to item number 9, petition by Mr. Ignacio Chavez.
to have an application submitted with new hunt numbers for the 2020 fall draw for deer. Jennifer Stewart's again our presenter.
Before we start, have we made a decision on number 8, Mr. Clark's?
I believe you did vote to deny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Director. Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Mr. Chavez states they went online on May 12, 2020 to complete an application for a deer tag for the 2020 fall draw. Mr. Chavez purchased point guard during this process. He indicates that he intended to and selected hunt numbers 1,067, 1,111, and 1,097 as his first, second, and third choices. His receipt verifying the transaction processed indicated hunt numbers 1001, 1003, and 1001 were selected. Mr. Chavez is requesting to resubmit his application with the hunt numbers he originally intended to submit. Does the Commission wish to hear the petition?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Davis.
I'll make a motion and I am petition. Again, you have, in these cases, for those that don't remember, there is a they can actually go back and look at what was selected. And again, in a point guard situation, there would be an option mm-hmm. in this. So I may make a motion to deny the petition.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Anyone opposed? Carries 5-0. Thank you.
Item 10 is a petition by Mrs. Dina Clark to be allowed to purchase point guard after the fact. Jennifer Stewart's our presenter.
Thank you, Mr. Director. Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Ms. Clark applied for the 2020 spring draw and was successfully drawn for hunt number 4001, valid April 24th to 30th and May 8th through 21st in Unit 1 for bearded turkey. She did not purchase point guard as part of her original application. Ms. Clark indicated that after the COVID-19 pandemic occurred, her job was also classified as critical, and beginning in mid-March, her employer canceled her vacation. She states she was unable to hunt due to circumstances outside of her control, and she is requesting to purchase point guard after the fact. Does the Commission wish to hear the petition?
Commissioner Davis?
I'll make a motion to deny the petition.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Carried 5-0. Thank you.
Item 11 is petitioned by Mr. Pat Frabel to be allowed to purchase point guard after the fact. Jennifer.
Thank you, Mr. Director. Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Mr. Frabel applied for the 2019 fall draw for deer and was successfully drawn for hunt number 1005. He states he did not receive his tag in the mail and was not aware that he had been drawn until he applied for the 2020 fall draw and noticed his points were gone. He contacted the department at that point in time. The tag has not been returned to the department that we're aware of, and his address listed on file was correct. Mr. Frabel is requesting to purchase point guard after the fact. Does the Commission wish to hear the petition?
Mr. Chairman, I just want to point out in a situation like this, there are multiple opportunities to figure out note that you have been drawn. One is if your credit card is hit, one of the things I check for, I'm sure the rest of you do every draw cycle, mm-hmm. to see if your credit card's hit before you're even told whether you were drawn or not. Yeah. The second opportunity is that with a portal account, you can go online anytime, check whether you were drawn or not. You still can use the phone option to check whether you were drawn or not. And I want to commend the department. You know, I know all of us are very well old enough to remember banging away on the phone over and over trying to get through through the busy line to find out whether we got drawn or not. You now can do that very easily online. You can still use the phone. You can check your credit card statement, and then you can wait for your tags, like the special Christmas present that comes in the mail later. So I usually, obviously, when I find out I'm drawn, I know, like the rest of you, whether it's through my credit card, whether it's through me calling the number, whether it's me checking my portal account, I then get excited to see that big tag come in the mail. I know when my hunt is, and if I don't have a tag, I have the opportunity to go get a duplicate tag if for some reason something happens with the mail. So again, I think there is multiple protections and provisions. So I make a motion to deny the petition.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Carries 5-0. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, if I could just make one final comment. You know, another check, a good point from Commissioner Davis, but somewhere along the line, if he did get selected, he probably got a Hunter survey form in the mail, which would also raise a question of why am I getting this if I didn't get a tag? So lots of opportunities to question that.
Good point.
Mr. Chairman, I think we're number 12, right, Jen?
Yes.
Petition by Mr. Bernard Charles Ryan to be allowed to use point guard after the fact.
Thank you, Mr. Director. Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Mr. Ryan applied for the 2019 Elk Draw and was successfully drawn for hunt number 3126, valid September 13th to 26th in units 1, 2B, and 2C for archery-only bull elk. He purchased point guard as part of his original application. Mr. Ryan traveled from California to Arizona for his hunt. The day before his hunt, he attempted to practice with his bow several times, but was unable to pull the string back to full draw. He contacted his physician, who advised him to stop to reduce any further damage to his shoulder. Mr. Ryan indicated he was unable to contact the department because of poor cell reception and did not have an opportunity to return his tag by the required deadline. Mr. Ryan is requesting to use point guard after the fact to have his bonus points reinstated. Does the commission wish to hear the petition?
Commissioner Geiger, motion?
I'll make a motion to deny.
Second?
I'll second. I just want to, you know, again, I'd like to make a comment related to this. Obviously, if you can understand the ramifications that if you were able to use point guard after the fact, because I'd be using it a lot after the fact. So, but to you, that unit, you can drive to cell season, to cell, into cell range. If you were there, actually figured this out the day before, and you drove out to get a cell signal, you right. could have, and then obviously gone to the regional office. There would have been a way to surrender the tag. So I think, again, the opportunity certainly exists.
Mr. Chairman, I also just found it curious. They don't have a lot of detail here, but it sounds like he was able to contact his doctor, but he could not contact the department because of poor self-service. So
I second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Carries 5-0. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, item 13 is petitioned by Mr. Manuel C.S. to be allowed to provide payment and for the tag in which payment was declined during the draw process. Presenter again is Jen.
Thank you, Mr. Director. Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Mr. C.S. applied for the 2020 Elk Draw. During the draw process, his credit card was declined because his bank flagged the transaction as a possible fraudulent charge. This card was previously used to pay for his license and application fee at the time he submitted his application. Mr. C.S. did not believe the tag fee would be declined by his financial institution. Mr. C.S. is requesting to provide another form of payment so that he can be issued the tag he would have drawn if the original form of payment had not been declined. Does the commission wish to hear the petition?
Mr. Chairman, I would ask Jennifer, I think it's probably important, for example, Commissioner Geiler, there is a process related to this, and would you mind stipulating what the process is?
So what I can tell you as far as credit cards, we do provide a time period by which folks can update their cards. I will also let you know that as part of our regulations and the communication pieces that Tony Giles' area puts out in terms of reminders, we do include information in there about please make sure, you know, it's advised you contact your institution if you're concerned at all about charges, especially in the event that you might be paying for multiple charges. So we do try to do our best in terms of just messaging in advance of be aware, here's the deadline. Credit cards likely hit shortly after, and it's not a bad thing to contact your institution if, in fact, it may be a larger charge.
You can also contact the department as well yourself and ask if there was any issues with your credit card before the draw is finalized.
They can update, yes.
Yes.
Correct.
I mean, I just want to
Commissioner Davis, there is one thing, though, that we can't control here on the commission, and that's, you know, like I've been flagged in the Bank of America's mm-hmm. database. Anytime I'm making a purchase at Sportsman's Warehouse, Cabela's, or High Country Guns and Knives in Prescott, they are very quick to deny the card. So it's
that's because your bride put in a
no, my wife does pretty well at Dillard's, but I don't do well at sporting goods stores. So sometimes with some of the anti some of the crowd with their anti-wildlife management stance and anti-firearm stances, we do have people that get flagged that make multiple purchases like that. Mm-hmm. And in this instance, I'm a little sympathetic because I've been in those shoes. So it's kind of a, and I brought this up to you the other day, Jennifer, and it's one of those things where it's the draw's already occurred. And so it's unfortunate for the gentleman, but it may fall underneath the it may fall underneath the heading of the School of Hard Knocks in that regard, but kind of, I don't know. It's one of those things where you can tip either way with it.
We used to deal with this actually a lot more than we do now. It's not. It's way way less than it previously was, because again, people have begun. They began to figure out that, you know, these are things you want to check, you want to follow up on, and so the incident rate declines, but you can probably think in the reverse of what would happen if every single time we had one of these incidents that you were doing an automatic redraw or re-opportunity, you would and have an endless draw. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, again, I'm one of those, you know, I go in and check mine.
Right.
You know, before I actually have had conversation, there's a particular card I use because.
Right.
So there's an array of options.
Maybe in this instance, we just go on ahead and chalk, let him have a hard learning curve, yeah. Give him a bonus point. And
he gets
his bonus point regardless, and he gets to go on ahead and learn to maybe double check his portal account and then call the card company.
Right.
My company, by the way, got a call yesterday that said if you deny anything from Arizona Game and Fish in the next month, I'll burn your house down. So, but that's the way I have to do it. But it's just the way it is.
Hope that works out for you.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to deny the petition.
I'll second it.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Carries 5-0. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, item 14 is petitioned by Mr. Travis Skogstad to be allowed to purchase point guard after the fact.
Thank you, Mr. Director. Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Mr. Skogstad applied for the 2020 elk pronghorn draw. He accidentally included a hunt number on his application that he did not intend to include. He was successfully drawn for this hunt, 3195, which is an antlerless elk hunt. He did not purchase point guard as part of his application process. Mr. Skogstad is requesting to purchase point guard after the fact. Does the Commission wish to hear the petition?
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to mention if you think back to the days of paper applications, there were a much higher incidence of people putting in the wrong number, transcribing the wrong number. The beauty of the online system is that a little box pops up and says, are you sure these are the units that you, the hunt numbers that you choose to select? So you actually have a second opportunity to confirm that these are the hunt numbers that you, and you didn't have that when you had paper applications. So it's actually a more bulletproof system. You just have to choose to take a second look, confirm that those are the hunt numbers that you want, and move on from there. So I make a motion to deny the petition.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Carries 5-0. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, item 15 is petitioned by Mr. Daniel Stadley to be allowed to purchase point guard after deadline day. Presenter is Jen Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. or Mr. Director, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission. Mr. Stedelli has applied for bonus points for himself and his two daughters during the previous elk antelope draws. Mr. Stedelli missed the deadline to apply for the most recent 2020 draw, which was February 11th, 2020. He believes the impacts of losing these points will make their chances for a successful draw in the future difficult. Mr. Stedelli is requiring to purchase bonus points after deadline day for himself and his daughters. Does the Commission wish to hear the petition?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Commissioner.
I will make a motion to deny the petition. And again, I want to point out that Tony Schott puts out multiple press releases, multiple emails about impending draw dates, final dates. You know the draw is open for a very lengthy period of time, as well as if you have a portal account, you will also be knocked on that. Make sure you get your applications in. They use social media to also promote those dates. The dates of application now are more promoted, more communicated than they ever have been in the history of the department. So I make a motion to deny the petition.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Carries 5-0. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, item 16 has been pulled, so we'll go to item 17, which is a petition by Mr. Andrew Tipton to be allowed to purchase point guard after the fact.
Thank you, Mr. Director. Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Mr. Tipton has applied for early archery bull elk tags or bonus points since 2015. During the 2020 elk pronghorn draw, he accidentally applied for an antlerless elk tag. Mr. Tipton was drawn for hunt 3178, valid September 11th through 24th, in units 1, 2B, and 2C for antlerless elk. He did not purchase point guard as part of his application process. Mr. Tipton is requesting to purchase point guard after the fact. Does the Commission wish to hear the petition?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion. Again, okay. This is the very basis of which you would want to purchase point guard because this event then would not occur, so I would just implore that our folks take that great opportunity to have point guard, and we've seen dramatic increases over time in people that do, and kudos to them. I make a motion to deny the petition.
Commissioner Brake.
Second, I have a comment. These petitions make it very hard for me as a commissioner from the standpoint that I have a moral sense to do what I believe is necessary, and that is support point guard. And I'm under the impression that point guard was a system that would have would keep me from having to compare two daughters versus somebody with a coronavirus that I'm not necessarily in, or a credit card turned down that perhaps maybe had bad credit, but that's not how it got written up. So I believe the point guard system is good, and I do not like to have to go for these permissions and listen to these conditions that are brought up, because it doesn't make me feel good to turn these people down. I don't enjoy this. And so whatever we can do as a commission and as a department to do a better job to make people understand that, I think we should work on that, because this is not an enjoyable part of this meeting for me.
Understood, Mr. Reagan. I think we've laid out a process that we'll have through the subcommittee to come back in August. But I would also mention this, and this application, a couple things. This application process that we're talking about right here was before COVID. Secondly, you think about the hundreds of thousands of applications the department deals with, and sometimes these are very minuscule numbers compared to the hundreds of thousands of applications that they process, deal with, award tags. So I think that should also give pause of reflection of how good our process is, how well it works, how much is communicated, and there's always going to be exceptions, not to the rule in the sense of whether it worked or not, but there's always going to be a few people who are outliers of a process that hundreds of thousands of people use and use effectively and don't have any issues. They're huge numbers. We're talking about 0.0-something of the application pool.
And before I give my second, I totally agree with you, sir. I am really looking forward to the subcommittee clearing this up.
I think Commissioner Brake's point, though, is well taken. We have how many of these, and maybe some language that we put in the applications would reduce the number of petitions that are getting filed to requesting point guard. And I think that's what the subcommittee is going to do, be able to do.
Exactly.
So thank you for your comments. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Carries 5-0. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Chairman, we can keep moving on or we can take a break.
Let's take a 5-minute break or a 7-minute break or a 10-minute break.
Well, let's do 10 and come back at 9:20 on that clock.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, we're back
yes,
up.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So we will go to item 18. Which is a petition to lock three gates on state trust land near Concho, Arizona. Presenter is Don Larson, Landowner Relations Program Manager.
We do have one call. And I'm not sure it's on this subject, so. Let's see how they treat you, Don. I mean, you know. Morning.
Is that better?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission. Before I jump into the details of the actual petition that you're going to be considering today, I wanted to do a real brief overview of where we are currently at in implementing the Protocol for Management of Motor Vehicle Access on State Trust Lands. As you know, both the State Land Commissioner and the Game and Fish Commission have legislative authorities to manage motor vehicle access on state trust lands. And over the past several decades, those dual authorities have resulted in a lot of confusion that has led to over 120 reported unauthorized closures of state trust lands, which, of course, is problematic for holders of Arizona hunting and fishing licenses who have legal authority to hunt and fish on those state trust lands. So the protocol was an agreement between the two agencies which defined how the agencies would work together to manage those authorities and address all the unauthorized closures. It was signed in June of 2019, and after a period of interagency training and coordination, we started to implement the protocol in the field to address the unauthorized closures. In progress to date, as you can see, there's been 15 on-ranch meetings. Those are meetings with the permittee of the state trust land and field staff from State Land Department and Game and Fish Commission. Those meetings have so far resulted in 14 previously unauthorized closures being resolved. 12 of those 14 are now open and are available for hunters and fishers to access, and resulted in improved access. Two of them I put in the category of determined not to be unauthorized, which I know is a little bit funny wording, but it's kind of a catch-all for everything that it was determined that it was actually an authorized closure, or it never was an access point to begin with, so it never existed. So 14 have been resolved, and we mapped the acreage, the allotments, and in cases where there was land beyond the allotments that was landlocked and has now improved access, we mapped those areas and we've improved access through those 14 or through the 12 that improved access on just under 55,000 acres of state trust lands and landlocked lands beyond that. Of note, just under 19,000 acres previously had limited access, so we improved access, added another access point, but just under 36,000 of those acres had no vehicular access before the gates were opened. And I know this is a very high elevation shot of the state, but I just wanted to show with the red polygons, the distribution of where those improved access acres currently are located that have so far been improved.
Mr. Chairman, Don, a question. When you go out and talk to the ranchers in the 14 that were open, is there a theme that of why they didn't know the regulation, they thought that they were okay, or someone had given them a verbal approval? Do you see any trends there of why we're seeing these?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Guggenhauer, that's a good question. I sometimes think there's 120 one-off examples for our 120 closures. If there is a theme, there is a reason why they're closed in many cases. There's been issues. It can range from they've been given verbal approval by somebody from state land department, maybe even our agency at times, to they've just acted on their own. So there's probably a little bit different unique situation for every case.
Right. And after you go through the process and explain the protocol and all that, do you sense a willingness to cooperate with the protocol, or is it reluctantly done?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Guggenhauer, I would say so far, we've had pretty good success. We're 15 meetings into the list, so mm-hmm. we'll see what happens in the future. But I think we're cautiously optimistic about how things have gone so far.
Sure, yeah. A fine line, but you guys do a good job walking it, so thank you.
So with that, we'll move into the details of the petition. This particular petition is from Marcelino Diaz from Malpais Spring Allotment. There's three gates he's petitioning to lock in Game Management Unit 2C. You'll see when we get to the map that his allotment is a checkerboard of private and state trust lands. And you'll see on the map also that most of the private land checkerboard has perpetual right-of-way easements on it available to the public because those sections have in the most part been subdivided and platted out for development. It's believed the three access points will reduce ongoing damage to the habitat that's occurring reduce the damage that's occurring, reducing the ability of the permittee to manage the state trust land for wildlife and livestock. You'll see on the map access would remain, if the petition is approved, access would remain to the allotment through other access points, and that the state land department has issued a temporary closure for this allotment already, and that was issued according to the protocol. It was kind of our first test case for how we would manage a situation like this. There was an issue ongoing out there. The State Land Department contacted our staff. We met with State Land Department staff on site, discussed the issue. State Land Department felt that there needed to be immediate action. They issued a temporary permit and, per the protocol, are now deferring to the Game and Fish Commission to take a more long-term solution. And there's a copy of their official temporary closure they issued, listing the reasons why they do it, why they did it, and a timeline for the temporary closure. So now the map, I guess the first thing I point out is the inset map of the state. You can see where the blue star, where this allotment is located in the state. And next, if you move over to the allotment itself, the allotment is defined by the blue boundary. Within that blue boundary, you can see the checkerboard nature of the ownership. The blue sections, those are square miles, are state trust land, and the whitish sections are private. All the green are roads that are currently open and would remain open even if the petition was approved. They are currently open and would not be affected by the petition. In other words, even if the petition is approved, all those roads could be accessed via other access points. You'll note that the green roads, there's two different types of green roads. There's a thick green line, and those are on the white sections. Those are private. The thick green line are perpetual rights-of-ways because those areas have been platted and subdivided, so they can't ever be closed, the thick green lines. The thinner lines that are kind of dashed are on state trust land or they are on private land and don't have permanent right-of-ways associated with them. So the stars are the access points. The green stars are access points to the allotment that will remain open regardless of the action the commission takes on the petition. The three yellow stars are the gates in question under this petition. If we look at the northwest one first at the top, I don't think I hit anything. It's back. The first gate at the north, up at the northwest corner, you can see where it just barely lies on state trust land. And if you trace that green line through within about a quarter mile, it eventually crosses off state trust land onto private land. That is one gate that's being petitioned to close. You'll note that half section of blue, will remain a green access point on the very north end that would get people into that half section still. The red line, I point out, is the only road within the allotment that's not open, and that's on private land, and it's associated with the headquarters unit of the permittee. So now if you look at the two stars close together, I'm going to zoom in on those for you so you can get a better idea of what's happening there. We'll zoom in. So again, the thick green lines have perpetual rights away on them. They're on private land, and you can see what would happen if those two gates were closed. Folks would no longer be able to access through the gate on that on the dash line and head across the state trust land on the green dash line going through the blue section. So we'll zoom back out here now that you can kind of see how those line out. So entering through the green star on the west, if you trace through those thick green lines, you can see that you would still be able to access any of the blue state trust land within the allotment. Really what those two yellow stars would affect really is only access. If you can read that section 34, the section where those two yellow stars are at, you would have to drive around a little bit farther to get into the interior of section 34 if those two gates were closed. Otherwise, there was really no impact on any access to any of the other state trust land on this allotment. And I point out that there's two access points on the southeast corner, too, that would not be affected by this petition. So just a few photos to give you an idea of what's happening out there. There's a high volume of traffic accessing these roads. Most all the traffic is people and realtors accessing those private inholdings, trying to develop those lots. And you can see what's happening. The roads are widening as muddy spots develop over the course of the wet time of year. The roads tend to get widened. They're doing self-maintenance. They're doing turnaround areas, and the roads keep expanding. Another example of how one road turns into two. And the permit holder has also reported he's had livestock injuries resulting from high-speed travel. And again, another example of one road turning into two out there. I would note that a hunting and fishing license is not a permit for private landowners to access their inholdings and go back and forth. The legal access for that would be for those private land inholding owners to purchase a right-of-way from state land department. And last shot here, just another area where there's been turnaround activity going on, which is expanding the road. And this has been ongoing off and on for 15 years. In the most recent 3 years, we first attempted working with State Land Department, the permittee, trying to address this through signage, things like signage and an increased presence out there, and it hasn't been successful. So in summary, 2 points. The unauthorized road expansion out there is damaging to wildlife habitat, and it's harming the ability of the permittee to manage livestock and wildlife within the unit. And secondly, there, as we saw on the map, there are alternate access points available, and all roads within the allotment would remain accessible to hunters and fishers via other access points.
Don, I'm trying to figure out what wildlife habitat, based on the photographs you just showed us, are being damaged. It looks like there's any habitat that we need to be concerned about. It's just vacant land, and nothing's growing on it. And
yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think it's just a general desert habitat of the area. And
so there's no wildlife habitat issue, I don't think, at that point, is there, or is there?
Mr. Chairman, I would say there is.
Okay.
And I would say, you know, that type of habitat is what it is. And by those roads expanding, there's vegetation damage occurring that was there. It's also a soil erosion issue.
Okay. Thank you.
So with that, before we move on to the recommendation, are there any questions?
Mr. Chairman, Don, can you talk a little bit about the custom signs that you would plan to place on the gates?
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Guggenhauer, yes. For any case where it is necessary, and in most cases it would be, we are able to make custom signs, so we can put a sign at the site of the closure stating that it is an official closure by the Game and Fish Commission, so there's no question by the public. And then the sign, which we've already done this in other cases, we can make a custom map saying, you know, you are here, here's the next closest available access point, and have a map of the allotment. And every site's a little bit different, so we can custom make signs with custom maps for each situation.
Great. Thank you.
Chairman Sparks.
Yes, sir.
The one thing, Don, I want to make sure is that we have our I's dotted and our T's crossed, because that habitat is very similar to what's around the Prescott area in Yavapai County. And with some of the closures that we've had up there, we've had the wildcat roads going on, and the department has absolutely been stellar addressing the Big Chino watershed up there, and the next closed gate is going to be part of that Big Chino watershed discussion. But we're going to see some stuff coming in the next, you know, 3 to 4 years from further north in past Commissioner Zeiler's backyard, and that's going to be up there along the Zuni and in that country. The habitat, as I look at it, that is a critical habitat for antelope fawning. And we all know with some of our past public initiatives that we've had, fawn recruitment has been declining. So I really appreciate you taking the time to walk me through this. But more importantly, as I look forward to fawn recruitment and some of the less pressure on our wildlife in that area, this is something that we really need to look at. And has the permittee looked at reseeding some of those spots that have been torn up, where the roads have been going across? I mean, we have, does the department, I guess I'm asking, Chairman, is there a avenue that we can get them the seed, the proper seed, to replace the grass species that have been degraded in the area?
Mr. Chairman and Commissioner Geiler, I don't believe there's been any discussion, because there's been ongoing issues. So, mm-hmm. But that is something we could speak to the permittee about, you know, if the commission approves the petition and the damage is limited. We have our landowner relations program. We have a granting program where we can do habitat enhancements. Okay. We do a lot of habitat enhancements on state trust land, so I don't see any reason why that couldn't be a part of that program.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Oh, yes, sir.
Were you going to
age before beauty? Is that it?
I would like to just make a comment. Much of that is our land. When you're talking to doing those projects, the permit team may want to do it, but you have to go through the process of getting Forest Service, BLM, or state land permission to be able to go out there, and that often is a very long and difficult time. I think the permittees would love to have some help in trying to do that, because anything that would make that good for wildlife makes it good for cattle too, and they understand that. So that's a good point, Commissioner.
Commissioner?
Yes, I would move that we authorize the locking of the gates as presented this morning.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone oppose? Carries 5-0. Thank you, John.
Then you'd have to go to your recommendation.
We don't. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, item 19 is a renewal of a road closure on state trust land in Paulden, Arizona. Don Larson, again, is our presenter.
This one we're going to give Don a bad time on.
Okay. Another one, but and this time we have a renewal. So this one, and Nelson Harrington has requested a renewal for a road closure. It's near Paulden. You can see on the inset map there where it's between Chino Valley and Paulden. It's a half mile long chunk of road. You can see it within the blue allotment on the map. It is represented by the orangish road, and the orange star is the gate. It's been in effect since 2005, so this would be the third renewal if it was approved. I would also point out that within the allotment, you can see the green star and the green road are alternate access points for that state trust land. The reason for this is for a riparian area that happens to be at the end of that orange road, and that riparian area is on the department's Upper Verde River Wildlife Area. This is the gate, and you'll note that there is a walk-in gate already built at the site, so hunters and fishers, people can freely access the property through the walk-in gate. Same photo, the large grayish trees in the background there are where the riparian area is on Granite Creek that is the source of the protection. And so here's just an example of the Granite Creek, and the closure would prevent easy access for OHVs to get right down into this riparian habitat. And another example of the riparian habitat on Granite Creek, which of course would be very vulnerable to misuse of off-road vehicles. A little simpler one this time. With that, are there any questions before we move to the recommendation?
Commissioners?
Chairman, I'm very, very familiar with this area and this closure that's been in effect. The folks that are going and using the green road that goes north in that map, mm-hmm. That provides them a lot of access. I think if there's any pushback on this closure, Don, it would probably be from a group of four-wheelers in the area that I call them the potbelly skunks that seem to like to run all over my county. But this is absolutely pristine country down in there that you guys have over the years. The department and Darren Tucker, our wildlife management supervisor in the area, have worked pretty hard with Ann to make sure that this stays as pristine as it is. The only thing that in that area that we're seeing as a problem is elk moving in, but that's the rancher side of me. Sorry, Commissioner Brake, but it's one of those things where this is absolutely a gem in Yavapai County, and I would urge the commission to consider this closure again.
You have a second?
I have a question, Mr. Chairman. Sure. Just to clarify this, we're closing this gate to keep people out of the game and fish area down in that area? That was my question. It's somewhat sarcastic, but
no.
Just thought I'd bring it up to everybody's attention.
I'll look you at the corner of my eye, Brake.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Brake, I failed to point out the reddish or pinkish polygons on the map there are game and fish property. And you can see the zigzagging Granite Creek there that is contained within the game and fish property there. So, yes, the end of the road on state trust land, if you jump the fence there, you'd be on Granite Creek in that riparian area.
My real reason for saying that is that this is a good example of where roads need to be closed. And the difficulty it is sometimes to do that, and I just want to compliment you and your staff because somebody asked the question why why are the, what is the general feeling in those of us who've been out there? The general feeling is not general. I mean, it goes back to Grandpa back in, 1927 or something of that sort, and they just have never been addressed. And what's happening now is for the first time we're addressing them, and it's becoming a win-win situation as everybody gets a little bit more comfortable with it, because there was a fear of a lot of people that it was going to be armed bandits coming out there with bolt cutters, and that has not taken place. And we recently had a meeting with the Farm Bureau people and the cattle growers people, and they're very complimentary about how this is going down. And to me, when we started this thing about 2 years ago, I was wondering if we were ever going to get them to get together. But the Farm and Ranch Association and the others, too, have said that we're doing a good job. And when we've talked to the ranchers, they'd say, well, they're giving me cameras over here, and that's working out. And if they put a cattle guard over there, I don't mind opening that. And we say, well, we need to have access over there. Well, you can get access over there. You just don't need two of them going to the same place. So I think it's an ongoing deal, and it's going to be an ongoing deal long before we're off the commission and our grandchildren are off the commission. But it is working, and it's because people are making it work. And I congratulate Josh and Craig and their staff, and you, Don, and the hard work you've all done to make this work. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Commissioner.
First of all, I'll defer to Commissioner Brake's knowledge of bringing old wagon wheels across old waterways. And I'm just kidding. I think it's important to note that going back a number of years on the commission, we've dealt with some of these closures, and the biology was the centerpiece of those, for me, those rare occurrences of closing gates. And you don't have to be a biologist to look at the pictures of that area and understand why we would want a situation where we're avoiding mass vehicle use through an area like that. And so I just from a historic perspective, I think this is one of those examples, and we've closed other roads for biological impact. Wildlife impact. So again, for me, this is an easy one to make that decision.
Any other comments? Recommendation?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to renew the gate closure on State Trust land near Paulden, Arizona.
Is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Carries 5-0. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, we've made really good time. So everything else on our public agenda is time certain.
I have a call-in, apparently.
Ben, will you verify? But I believe the call-in is for the time certain at 11 for item 6 or 7.
Is that right? It's not on my sheet of paper, but if that's the case. Yep, it is. Okay. 11 o'clock. You're right.
So I would suggest that you vote to go into executive session if you want, and we will come back at 11 o'clock for our time certain.
Have a motion?
Motion to move into executive session.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Carries 5-0.
Mr. Chairman, we are back up and running.
Thank you.
That brings us to our time certain at 11 a.m., which is item 6, approve proposed Commission Order 29 for special big game license tag seasons for mule deer, whitetail deer, pronghorn, elk, turkey, javelina, bighorn sheep, bison, black bear, and mountain lion for the 2021 and 2022 special license tag hunting seasons. Presenter is Amber Munich, Big Game Management Program Supervisor.
Welcome, Amber. Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission. I actually did not expect to see any faces here, so I'm kind of casual today, and now I'm uncomfortable. But anyways, normally I wear slacks and look a little bit more professional, but I didn't figure you'd see anything but my shoulders and my head. So Anyways, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, I'm presenting Commission Order 29, the special big game license tags for the 2021-22 seasons. The special tag program is authorized under ARS 17-346, and it allows for three license tags per big game species to be awarded through this program. The season dates for all species will be the same. It is August 15th, 2021 through August 14th, 2022. And again, there will be three tags per species. For mule deer, the open area is statewide except for Camp Navajo, Mojave County Parklands, and Fort Huachuca. For white-tailed deer, open area is valid statewide with those same exclusions. For pronghorn, the valid units are 1 through 10, except Camp Navajo, 11M, 12A, 12B, 13A, 13B, 15A, 15B, 17A, 17B, 18A, 18B, portions of 19A, which are delineated by notes within the commission order, 19B. Unit 21 will be closed this year. We closed the unit to draw hunters, and so now we will be removing it from the special tag hunt also. Unit 30A, 31, 32, 34A, 34B, and 35A and B. I did want to mention before I go into the rest of the species, the notes associated with these commission order in each species were modified slightly. They reflect exactly what we have in our regulations for the draw hunters now. So there were some modifications we did to the draw hunts this past year, and those have been incorporated into the various species here also. For elk, the valid open
Mr. Chairman, Amber, refresh my memory. Why did we take out 21?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Guggenhauer, Unit 21 had a low population and a low buck-to-doe ratio, and so we closed it to the draw hunter for both the general and the archery seasons that were open. And once we close it to the draw hunter, then we remove it from the open area for a special tag hunter. For elk, the valid open area will be statewide except Camp Navajo, Mojave County Parklands, and Fort Huachuca. Turkey, valid open areas are units 1, 3B through 10, 11M, 12A, 13A and B, 17A and B, 18B, 22, 23, 24A, 27, 29, 30A, 31, 33, 34A, and 35A, except Camp Navajo and Fort Huachuca. For javelina, open areas are statewide except Camp Navajo, Mojave County Parklands, and Fort Huachuca. And bighorn sheep, this one's just slightly different. Each tag has a specific open area. These are no change from last year. I'm not going to go through and read each of those. Tag 1 is the northwestern portion of the state. Tag 2, and it's a desert tag. Tag 2 is also a desert tag, and it's the southwestern and then over into the eastern portion of the state for our desert units. And tag 3 is the Rocky Mountain tag. For bison, both House Rock Wildlife Area, or the House Rock herd, and the Raymond herd are open for the special tag hunter. On the Raymond herd, the hunter is required to contact the Raymond Wildlife Area manager at least 2 weeks in advance to schedule that hunt. Black bear open statewide except Camp Navajo, Mojave County Parklands, and Fort Huachuca. And mountain lion is statewide except National Wildlife Refuges, Camp Navajo, Mojave County Parklands, and Fort Huachuca. When the commission is ready, the department has a recommendation.
Give it to us, please.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, the department recommends that the commission vote to adopt Commission Order 29, Special Big Game License Tag Seasons as presented.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Carries 5-0. Thank you, Amber.
Mr. Chairman, so item 7 would be authorized issuance of special big game hunt license tags to wildlife conservation organizations.
for pronghorn, bighorn sheep, black bear, bison, elk, javelina, mountain lion, mule deer, turkey, and white-tailed deer for 2021-2022. Amber is again our presenter.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, it's great to see you again. I'll be presenting the special tag requests from the qualified wildlife organizations for the 2021 and 2022 seasons. Again, this program is authorized under ARS 17346 and Rule R124120. Our vision with this is to maximize revenue generated through the raffle and auction of each special big game license tag, while also maximizing our partner collaboration and conservation. We like to encourage dialogue between the wildlife conservation organizations to help determine the best venue and the best marketing approach for each special big game license tag, again, to maximize revenue. Here's a little bit of history about the special tag program. It was initiated in 1984 with two bighorn sheep tags, and in that year we generated $146,350 for just those two tags. In 2019, this is not our current season, the previous year, we generated over $2.4 million. In 2020, with the 30 tags, we have already sold 16 of the 30 tags, so there's still 14 that have not been sold to date. And, oh, there's the amount. It's already generated over $1.7 million in revenue with just the 16 tags that have been sold to date. In total to date, the program has generated over $38 million for big game conservation. Species project proposals are the Habitat Partnership Committee process is used to determine what projects will be receiving funding from these monies. So current year, to date, the mule deer tag, the Arizona Big Game Super Raffle has not occurred yet. That'll occur July 22nd, and one tag for each species will be raffled during that process. The mule deer tag has gone for $225,000 and $260,000. Whitetail tags were $55,000 and $227,500. The two pronghorn tags, one went for $91,000, which was an exceptional price. We've never seen it hit that in the past, and hopefully we hit it again. I'll kind of be surprised the next time it occurs, too. And the other tag went for $52,500. Elk, $225,000, $240,000. None of the turkey tags have been auctioned or raffled to date. The Turkey Federation typically partners with SCI to do their auction. They have chosen to pull that away from SCI and do an online auction, which is in the process right now. It should be finalized by June 14th. And then they'll do their card raffle in early August. Javelina, one tag has been auctioned for $1,250. The Arizona Bow Hunters will be raffling that tag, the second tag, and it should be completed by June 30th. Bighorn sheep, both tags went for $270,000. Bison, again, only one tag has been auctioned to date for $28,000. The other one is held by SCI, and they will be doing a silent auction at an event on June 27th. Black bear, none of those tags have been auctioned or raffled to date, and both will be done, be complete by the end of the month. And mountain lion, one tag went for $3,500, and the other tag went for $6,000. The organizations requesting tags this year are the Arizona Big Game Super Raffle, the Arizona Antelope Foundation, Arizona Bow Hunters Association, Arizona Deer Association, the Arizona Desert Bighorn Sheep Society, Arizona Elk Society, Mule Deer Foundation, and the National Wild Turkey Federation. This table shows you the request per organization. if it has the red little cross by it, those organizations have asked for either, they have said they would be willing to take any tags that have been unallocated or unrequested. Last year, the commission adopted an approach for allocating this, the special big game license tags. We will consider the tags in order of mule deer, whitetail deer, pronghorn, elk, bighorn sheep, turkey, bison, black bear, javelina, and mountain lion, and that's typically by based on demand or interest in the particular tags. For any tags that were not requested, then a draw will be conducted, and this is making the assumption that the commission continues to use this approach this year. The department will provide guidance on what organizations should be in each draw, and then Commissioner Sparks or his designee will conduct a draw. Action will be taken after each species is considered. Criteria one is based on our statute and rule, and it's that the organizations must have a written proposal for the tags. It's all the letters that you received in one of the attachments. Criteria two was that the Arizona Big Game Super Raffle would continue to receive one of each special big game license tag. That leaves two tags for the remaining organizations to be awarded. Criteria three was qualified species-specific organizations will be considered first for a special big game license tag for their species, for the species that their organization represents. And they may be awarded both special license tags for that species if there are no other species-specific organizations requesting it. Criteria four, if the number of species-specific organizations is greater than the number of special big game license tags for that species, then only those species-specific organizations will receive tags. We do not have this situation this year. There are no more than two organizations that are species-specific for any given species. Criteria five, for special big game license tags that remain after this awarding process, any qualified organization who has requested one of the remaining tags will be considered for the awarding process. Criteria six is that general requests for a special license tag where a species is not named will be considered after all the species-specific requests have been considered. Criteria seven is a wildlife organization is limited to two special big game license tags per year unless there are tags that are unrequested or unallocated, they may go to an organization that has two tags already. And then the awarding process is a limited draw. So the next group of slides shows if the commission continues to use this process, how the tag allocation would fall out. For mule deer, there's two organizations requesting the two tags. They're both species specific, and so both Arizona Deer Association and Mule Deer Foundation would each receive a tag. Same thing with whitetail deer. For pronghorn, Arizona Antelope Foundation requested both tags. There are no other species-specific organizations, so they would receive both tags. Same situation with elk. The Arizona Elk Society requested both tags. They would receive both tags. For bighorn sheep, same thing again. Arizona Desert Bighorn Sheep Society would receive both tags. And same thing for Turkey Federation. They would receive both tags. For bison, we have no species-specific groups. We had one request from Arizona Bowhunters Association and one request from Arizona Elk Society. Under this process, Arizona Bowhunters Association would receive one tag. The Arizona Elk Society has already received two tags, but there are no other species-specific requests, so the Arizona Elk Society would receive the third tag under this approach. Black bear, Arizona Bow Hunters Association requests the single tag. They would receive that tag, and then a draw would occur for the remaining the organizations under the general request. Javelina, the same thing here. So at this point, all organizations have received two tags, and any additional tags will be a third tag going to an organization. Arizona Bow Hunters Association, being a specific request for Javelina, would receive one tag, and a draw would occur for the second tag. Mountain Lion, the Arizona Desert Bighorn Sheep Society, is the only organization that requested a lion's tag specifically, so they would receive that tag as their third tag, and then there would be a draw for the remaining tag. At this point, this is our last species, and so there may not be a drop necessary because some of the other organizations would have already received a third tag and will be down to a single organization. So this slide just summarizes everything that I went through on a single slide. It first shows you by organization how things might fall out, and then it shows you by species how things might fall out. And that is all I have for a presentation. At this point, it's the commission's time to consider each one, and then we'll go species by species on how they will be awarded.
Mr. Chairman, I think we also probably have some virtual blue slips as well.
Virtual blue slips, okay.
Yeah. They'll pop up here on the screen.
Yep.
So, Ben, is that the only one we have?
It's the one we had earlier this morning also. So.
I know at least one person waiting.
Okay.
We proceed.
It's up to the commission. You guys could chat or you could hear from people calling in.
Let's talk to the people calling in and get that underway.
So, Ben, can you get our first one on?
Yes, hello, Mr. Chairman. This is Ken Metters, and I'm president of the Arizona Antelope Foundation. And I just wanted to call into the commission and thank you, as usual, for the commissioner tags that we're able to get. And just let you know that we marketed tags last year by doing a little more aggressive marketing at the Wild Sheep Foundation and then moving our tag that we normally have in our June fundraiser forward to the Desert Bighorn Sheep Society, marketed that earlier in the year. And, boy, I guess we lucked out on that since they were the last ones to actually go to a live event. And as Amber pointed out, we set a new record, and also the second tag at the Bighorn Sheep Society exceeded our average by about $9,000. So we'll be doing pretty much the same thing this year. And, again, just like to thank everybody for the opportunity to do this and the money that we can bring in for wildlife.
Well, we certainly like to thank you for your work and effort in raising money for the commission. So thank you.
You bet.
Anybody have any questions for this caller?
No, just a thank you for the work.
We appreciate that.
We have any other callers?
I'm seeing people nod that we have some more, but I'm not seeing them show up on the screen.
I don't see them on the screen either, so.
I think you do have another one.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, Miles Moretti did attempt to call in, but it dropped earlier, and he's with the Mule Deer Foundation.
Ben, can you verify that we have nobody else in the queue?
Correct. We have nobody else in the queue.
We think there's some that are trying, or at least one that's trying.
Shall we proceed, and then if we get a call, we'll come back to him? We'll do that. I don't see anybody else on the screen, gentlemen. So.
Okay, let me repeat the number because it sounds like there's some people trying to get through. The number to call is 602-962-8790, and then follow the prompts that will ask you for your name, where you're calling from, and which agenda item. 602-962-8790. Mr. Chairman, can we break for a couple minutes to make sure we allow people to get on here?
Of course, we'd like to make sure everybody wants to talk.
Let's just break for 5 minutes, and we'll keep the line open.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Chairman, I think we are back up and running. For people calling in, we apologize for that. We had to reboot the system there. So I think if we take it in order of who we received, it would be
we just lost him.
Mr. Moretti.
Moretti. Mm-hmm. Let's hook Mr. Moretti.
Can you hear me?
We can.
Mr. Moretti, thank you for calling. This is Eric Sparks, Chairman of the Commission, and if you have some questions, we'd be glad to try to answer them for you.
I don't have questions, but I just, like the previous speaker, I want to thank the commission and the department for this program, and we're happy to be part of it. And I hate to correct Amber, but she had one error on her slide. We did not have the whitetail tag last year. Another group had it, and we usually sell it for a lot more than that. But I just want to appreciate the recommendation from the department for the tags. We enjoy our relationship with the department and the commission. Our two cooperative biologists there are doing some tremendous work and getting some national recognition out of what they're doing there. And so with that, I'll just say thank you and appreciate our partnership.
And we'll punish Amber accordingly. Thank you very much for calling.
Mr. Chairman, Miles, Jim Guggenhauer here. I just want to say thanks for all you do. And I know since I've been on the commission and you and I have met at different conferences, I enjoy talking to you. Look forward to working with you for as long as I'm on the commission here. So thanks for all your hard work.
Thank you, Miles.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Miles. Kirk
Davis.
Thank
you for the call.
All right, Mr. Chairman, I think we have one more on. I'm really hoping we have one more on.
942.
He said he was on.
Yeah. We can call him.
The number is the same, 801-230.
No, the other number was up, and then
it was
disappeared.
Up, and then it disappeared.
So why don't we call him then?
Hold there on. There he is.
Number
so,
two.
Mr. Colazar.
Caller.
Yeah. Click on it or you lose it. It says terminated. There he is. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm John Colazar, Arizona Big Game Super Raffle. Item agenda 6.
We hear you.
Good morning. This is Eric Sparks from the Commission. You're live. If you'd like to make some comments, we're all willing to listen.
Good morning, Commissioners. Mr. Chairman, this is John Colazar. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, good. The system doesn't seem to work all that well, but at least I finally did get in. We noticed that there were some tags that had gone unrequested by organizations. And the Big Game Super Raffle has had a history of being able to work with some of the tags that are not necessarily less than attractive, but certainly different species, specifically javelina, mountain lion, bear tags, that kind of thing. We would be interested in having a second tag along with the ones that we already do, and we would have a special raffle that the group would work out so that we could have it on a, maybe a monthly basis for 3 months in a row. We would have one of those big game tags, and we would utilize it in a manner that might be a little bit more beneficial. We would make it more lucrative for the people who would be putting in for the raffle. Do you have any questions? I'm open for it.
Mr. Davis?
Mr. Chairman, just want to thank John and obviously the hard work of the Super Raffle, and appreciate the offer to help. I think that potential methodology would be very interesting. So thank you, John. And please pass on to all the folks that work in the Super Raffle for our appreciation for the work that goes into that, which is very time-consuming.
And just for just a little side, this year looks to be slightly better than last year, just so you know, going in.
Good. Thank you for the phone call.
You're welcome.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I like the thought of that Super Raffle because we have a lot of guys that are just rank and file that go to work, do their 40 hours, come home, and then load up a kid and take him to the woods. And I think with that Super Raffle, we've introduced some of our young people to how wildlife management works when their dad or their mom or, you know, or both of them get to sit at a table and look at the different species and build some excitement in these kids. And I think for part of our recruitment efforts, the Super Raffle is something that is an option for us to have kids get involved in it. And it's something that I think that with a little bit of fostering, we can go on ahead and grow that thing even bigger in some different directions. Just my two cents.
Thank you for your comments. Any others, commissioners?
Well, I mean, what we have in front of us that has been presented is we have the option of maintaining the process we had last year, and I would recommend we maintain the process we had last year, but it's aligned as far as the group request, except for if I don't have it right, it's aligned except for we have a potential of a javelina bear and a mountain lion tag. We have a request from Big Game Super Raffle, and as Commissioner Geiler mentioned, I think I would recommend, and I guess I'd make a motion that we award the tags per the requests, except the unrequested mountain lion, javelina, and bear tag, that we move those to the Super Raffle and have the department coordinate with the Super Raffle on the special drawings that would occur, and help also with the generation of excitement about it and the opportunity for people to get those tags with an earlier raffle than they're currently due, where the Big Game Super Raffle, they sell tickets for a long period of time. You wait till July to find out. This would actually occur in early months in the year. And let's see how much fun we can generate. And to Commissioner Geiler's standpoint, it's another opportunity, quite frankly, for folks, no matter what their economic background, would have an earnest shot at these special draws. And if they package it with other items and even make it more exciting, I think it's a wonderful step forward. So I would make that motion.
Is there a second?
I would second.
I'll second that.
All in favor of Commissioner Davis's motion?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Carries 5-0. Thank you, Commissioner Davis. Thank you for the phone call.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission.
All right, Mr. Chairman, that is the last of our items on today's agenda, except our time certain at 1:30. So if you would like to go back into executive session, and we would resume back here at 1:30 sharp.
I make a motion to move to executive.
And lunch, yeah.
Make a motion to move to executive session.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? 5-0, it carries. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Chairman, we're back in live session. We are at our time certain at 1:30. Item 20 is hearings on license revocations for violations of game and fish codes and civil assessments for the illegal taking and or possession of wildlife. Presenter is Gene Elms, Law Enforcement Branch Chief.
Good afternoon, Gene. How are you?
Good afternoon, sir. Mr. Chair, members of the Commission, Mr. Director, thank you.
The department would like the record to show that each of the cases the commission may consider today have been reviewed and has been determined that cases meet the criteria established in Arizona Revised Statutes 15714, 17238, 17314, 17340, 17362, and or 17363 for commission action. The record should reflect that the commission and the respondents have been provided with copies of original court dockets and case reports prepared by the officers, along with all other copies of pertinent material in each of these cases. All of these exhibits may be considered by the commission in order to make a final determination in each of these cases. Please note that each individual is legally noticed for today's hearing. I will normally read the names of those individuals who were noticed for today's hearing, but since they're not here, I will look on the screen and I do not see that they have called in for today's hearing. But we will check that as we go through the proceeding. The civil assessment process, not intended to be punitive, is a process of allowing the commission to recover financial damages and compensate the state for any lost wildlife. Hunter education requirements are imposed as a remedial measure to increase knowledge and prevent future violations and not as punishment. The department is ready to present these cases for possible revocation and or civil assessment action and have the commission take jurisdiction.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we take jurisdiction.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Go ahead, Gene.
Mr. Chair, we have two gentlemen on the agenda today, Blake Owens and T.J. Purrington. Neither individual are here. Mr. Owens has six cases presented before the commission. Mr. Purrington has four cases. It would be my recommendation to introduce each of those cases to the commission and have one motion at the end that encompasses all of them, if that's okay with the commission.
Please proceed.
You should have that amended motion in your packet, and if you do not, I have copies to provide you if necessary. Also, Mr. Chair, as a matter of process, often when people are not present, you do not have me read the case summary. So since we have 10, I thought I would ask that question now instead of each time. Would you like me to read the case summary for each or just introduce the
cases? I don't think it's necessary. They've chose not to appear, and they've been noticed.
Yes, sir. Also, Mr. Chair,
Chairman, just to point, you know, I think just for the record, is obviously everybody has read these the cases in their totality.
I think that's correct.
Just handle my business. Thank you. So, Mr. Chair, the case officer, Terrell, should also be available by video should the commission have any questions for him following the revocations. Okay. See if it goes this time. If I knew how to turn the ringer off, that would be good, too. Okay, the first case is knocker number 2020-0036, the name of Blake Owens, P.O. Box 893, Heber, Arizona, 85928. Conviction summary charges, count A, fraudulent schemes and practices for an article submitted to Eastman's Bow Hunting Journal. It's a Class 2 felony. Count 2, fraudulent schemes and practices for applications submitted to Pope and Young, Class 2 felony. Forgery for an application to Pope and Young. It's a Class 4 felony. Fraudulent schemes and practices for applications submitted to Boone and Crockett, a Class 2 felony. Count 5, forgery for an application to Boone and Crockett. It's a Class 4 felony. Count 6, fraudulent schemes and practices for applications submitted to the Bow Hunting in Arizona Record Book Committee, Class 2 felony. Count 7, forgery of an application to Bow Hunting in Arizona Book Committee, Class 4 felony. Count 8, aggravated assault of a law enforcement officer, Class 5 felony. Count 9, take wildlife in a closed season, Class 1 misdemeanor. Count 10, take wildlife in a closed area, Count 11, possess unlawfully or transport unlawfully taken mule deer. Count 12, possess or transport a big game carcass without a valid tag. Count 13, take wildlife without a valid tag. Count 14, contributing to the delinquency of a minor. The court's Navajo County Superior Court, the plea on counts 1 through 14 were not guilty. The court findings were as follows. Modified count 1 to guilty of criminal simulation, intent to defraud with an article submitted to Eastman's Bowhunting Journal. Count 2 was also modified to criminal simulation, intent to defraud the application to Pope and Young Club. And count 11 was also guilty, possess or transport any wildlife, 4x4 mule deer, that was unlawfully taken. Counts 3 through 10, 12, 13, and 14 were dismissed per plea agreement. Restitution was ordered in the amount of $3,207.36. Probation was issued for a standard felony probation for 3 years. Jail time was 6 months. Other requirements, comply and fulfill any requirements imposed by the Arizona Game and Fish Commission. Date of conviction, January 7, 2020. Actions to be considered, revocation of license, take wildlife pursuant to ARS 17340. Require completion of a hunter education course pursuant to ARS 17245. Civil damages no less than $3,207.36 for the loss of one mule deer pursuant to ARS 17314. Next case is docket number 2020-0037, the name of Blake R. Owens, same address as the previous. Conviction summary, charge count 2, take big game, 3x3 mule deer during close season. Count 3, possess unlawfully taken game. Count 4, possess big game carcass without a valid tag attached. Count 6, take wildlife without a valid tag. Count 7, take wildlife in excess of bag limit. Courts, Navajo County Superior Court, plea on counts 2, 3, and 5, 6, and 7 were not guilty. Count 2 was guilty. Counts 3, 5, 6, 7 were dismissed per plea agreement. Ordered to pay restitution of $3,207.36. probation, jail time, and other requirements was the same as previous. Date of conviction, January 7, 2020. Next is docket number 2020-0038, the name of Blake R. Owens, same address as previous. Charges, count 1, fraudulent claim, insurance claim. Count 2, fraudulent schemes and artifices represented to taxidermists that 6x6 mule deer buck has been killed by Lori Owens. Count 3, forgery. Count 5, possess or transport any wildlife a 6x6 mule deer unlawfully taken. Count 6, possess and transport a big game carcass without a valid tag attached. Of course, Navajo County Superior Court, counts 1 through 4 and 6 for plea of not guilty. Court findings, counts 1, 2, 3, and 6 were dismissed per plea agreement. Count 4 was guilty. Restitution was ordered in the amount of $3,207.36. Probation, jail time, and other requirements were the same as the previous. Date of conviction, January 7, 2020. Action to be considered, revocation license, take wildlife pursuant to ARS 17340. Require completion of hunter education course pursuant to ARS 17245. Civil damage no less than $3,207.36 for the loss of one mule deer pursuant to ARS 17314. Next case is docket number 2020-0039, Blake Owens, same address as the previous. Charges, count 1, fraudulent schemes and practices. Count 2, fraudulent schemes and practices. Count 3, possess or transport unlawfully taken black bear. Count 4, take wildlife black bear by unlawful method. Courts, Navajo County Superior Court, plea on counts 1 through 3 is not guilty. Court findings, modified count 1 to guilty, take wildlife black bear with unlawful method, and amended count 2 to guilty, attempted fraudulent schemes and practices. Count three was dismissed per plea agreement. The restitution ordered was $5,645.28. Probation, jail time, and other requirements are the same as previous. Date of conviction, December 2nd, 2019. Actions to be considered, revocation license take while pursuant to ARS 17340. Require completion under education course pursuant to ARS 17245. Civil damages no less than $5,645.28 for loss of one black bear pursuant to ARS 17314. Next case is docket number 2020-40. Name of Blake Owens, same address as the previous. Conviction summary, count one, possess unlawfully taken coati. The court's Navajo County Superior Court, plea on count one is guilty. Per plea agreement, court findings were the same. Sentenced to pay a fine of $250. Probation, jail time, and other requirements are the same as the previous. Date of conviction, January 7, 2020. Actions to be considered, revocation of license take while I pursuant to ARS 17340. Require completion under education course pursuant to ARS 17245. Civil damages no less than $250 for loss of one quality pursuant to ARS 17314. Next case is docket number 2020-41. Name it Blake Owens. Same address as the previous. Conviction summary, charge count one, possess unlawfully taken 5x4 mule deer. The court's Navajo County Superior Court, plea on count one is guilty. Court findings were the same. Sentenced to pay a fine, a restitution of $3,207.36. Probation, jail time, and other requirements were the same. Date of conviction, January 7, 2020. Actions to be considered, revocation of license, take while pursuant to ARS 17340. require completion under education course pursuant to ARS 17245. Civil damage no less than $3,207.36 for loss of one mule deer. I believe that are all, that is all of the cases related to Blake Owens. The recommended motion that you have in front of you does not, the department is not recommending that the commission take civil action in this case, based on the fact that Mr. Owens has agreed to pay restitution through the court in the exact amount that the commission would have civilly assessed normally. Mr. Owens, just so you know, was assessed all of those civil actions that I just mentioned add up to $18,724.72. To date, Mr. Owens has been making payments on that. There is still $16,727 outstanding, so he has paid a portion of that through the court. Mr. Terrell, Officer Terrell, should be available if you have any questions, as am I.
Any of the commissioners want to hear from the officer?
I would like to hear from the officer.
Please have the officer available if you have. Officer, thank you for appearing today. Commissioner Davis, do you have some questions for the officer?
I don't have any questions, more of a, if there's anything you would like to add, officer, and second, to thank you for the diligent and hard work on what is obviously an egregious series of circumstances. So thank you for that. But if you want to add anything that also brings more light to this situation, be appreciated.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Davis, thank you. I appreciate that, those comments. I'll just add a couple brief things. I mean, this was a very lengthy investigation. It's been over 3 years now since that investigation started with a call into our Operation Game Thief hotline. That little bit of information just kept on snowballing throughout this investigation and kept finding more and more stuff, especially after we seized cell phones and other data from Mr. Owens. Very egregious incidents, every single one of them was basically no respect for the laws that we have in this state in terms of wildlife. So just and when interviewing the individual, was not cooperative whatsoever, lied on multiple occasions about his involvement with this these incidents. And yeah, if the commission has any additional questions, I'd be happy to take those.
Mr. Chairman, Officer, yes, Jim Guggenhauer here, and I just want to add my thanks. I know that this was a rough chapter to go through. I bet you after 3 years plus of dealing with this, you're probably ready to move on to the next chapter of it as well. So I wanted to personally thank you. We got a chance to read all these reports, so we know what you went through, and I think I can speak on behalf of the entire commission to thank you for your efforts.
Thank you, Commissioner. I appreciate that. I'll just add, it wasn't just me, a team effort of officers, investigators throughout the state that helped out with this investigation. So just acknowledging them as well.
Commissioners, any other questions?
Chairman Sparks, Officer Terrell, this is Dr. Todd Geiler. I echo Commissioner Davis and Guggenhauer's praise and thanks, especially in light of all the spotlights that we find law enforcement under today. Your diligence working through this very difficult investigation with a very less than cordial individual and a hostile family, it would have been easy to go on ahead and take the short way out, but you chose not to. And you reflect in a very positive way that the entire cadre of Arizona Game and Fish law enforcement represents, and I thank you for your time. And I'd like to ask one question regarding the over the 200-inch velvet buck. It's kind of hard for me to sit here, being an avid deer hunter, to think that a 200-inch buck was just stolen by coyotes. At any time since all of your the adjudication of this case and at the end of your investigation, has anybody come forth in the community of Heber or the surrounding areas with any information as to where that buck is and what the disposition of it is at this point?
No, they have not. Mr. Owens had agreed in the plea agreement that he would turn over that velvet 5x4 200-inch buck that he killed in September of 2016 prior to the 200-inch buck that he killed in December. When we got to the sentencing hearing before the judge is when he claimed that a coyote had eaten the antlers and he was not able to turn them over. So we have not received any additional information about those antlers since that time.
Okay. Thank you. So he was non-compliant even in the sentencing phase of this investigation as well?
That's what he had told the judge at the hearing, the sentencing hearing.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And again, I appreciate all your due diligence in this case. Thank you.
Commissioner Bray, give
you sir.
Questions?
No, I echo Mr. Geiler's thoughts about the officer. This is a tough one, and thank you very much for all the work you guys do. The whole team for that.
Officer, it appears that Mr. Owens was represented by counsel throughout these various proceedings. Is that not true?
Yes, it was.
Ron Wood, sure. I think, looks like was his defense attorney. Is that correct? Best you know.
Yes, Mr. Wood was his defense attorney. Yes.
Okay. And all these were voluntary pleas. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. I have no further questions. Anybody else have any further questions of the officer? Thank you, officer. We do appreciate the hard work. Thank you,
Mr. Chairman.
I have a motion.
One more comment. Excuse me, officer. Go ahead.
I have a motion.
Go ahead, please.
Okay. I move that the license or license privileges of Blake R. Owens to hunt, fish, trap in the state of Arizona be revoked and he be denied another for a period of 5 years for docket number 2020-0036. 5 years for docket number 2020-0037. 5 years for docket number 2020-0038. 10 years for docket number 2020-0039, 5 years for docket number 2020-0040, 5 years for docket number 2020-0041. that the current license be suspended as of the date of this hearing, and that it be revoked as of the date the order in this case is signed by the director, that he be required to complete a hunter education course and provide proof to the department before applying for any other license to hunt in the state. And I further move that the director, as secretary to the commission, be directed to sign and issue a finding of fact, conclusion of law, and order in this matter pursuant to this motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Carries 5-0. Thank you, officer, once again for your hard work.
Mr. Chair, just for our purposes, who had the second?
I did.
Mr. Geiler had the second. Thank you. Mr. Chair, the next four cases are for Mr. Purrington. If it pleases the commission, we will do them exactly the same as Mr. Owens. Docket number 2020-0042, name of Thomas J. Purrington, P.O. Box 22, Overgard, Arizona, 85933. Conviction summary, count A, fraudulent schemes and practices. Count two, knowingly take 3x3 mule deer in closed season. And count four, knowingly possess and transport unlawfully taken 3x3 mule deer buck. Courts, the Navajo County Superior Court. Plea on counts 1, 2, and 4 are not guilty. Court findings, a modified plea of count 1, attempted fraudulent schemes and practices to accept to defraud Arizona Game and Fish. Count 2 is dismissed per plea agreement, and count 4 is guilty of knowingly possess or transport any wildlife, a 3x3 mule deer buck. Sentenced to pay a fine of $500. Unlike Mr. Owens's cases, Mr. Purrington did not pay any restitution through these cases I'm going to mention to you. These are strictly court fines. Probation of standard felony probation for 18 months. Jail time, 2 days in jail served, and 40 hours of community service. Other requirements, comply and fulfill all requirements imposed by the Arizona Game and Fish Commission. Date of conviction, December 3rd, 2019. Actions to be considered, revocation of license, take wildlife pursuant to ARS 17340, require completion of education course pursuant to ARS 17245, civil damages of no less than $3,207.36 for loss of one deer pursuant to ARS 17314. Next case is docket number 2020-0043, name of Thomas Purrington, address, same address as the previous. Conviction summary, charge, count one, take 4x4 mule deer without a valid license. The court's Navajo County Superior Court. Plea on count one is guilty. Court findings were the same. Sentenced to pay a fine of $300 on December 3rd, 2019. Probation, jail time, and other requirements are the same as previous. Actions to be considered, revocation of license, take wildlife pursuant to ARS 17340, require completion hunter education course pursuant to ARS 17245, civil damage in less than $3,207.36 for loss of one mule deer pursuant to ARS 17314. Next case is docket number 2020-044, name of Thomas Purrington, same address as the previous. Count... Normally I have that in my hand, right, and I'm using technology. I'm old school today. I've got the book out, and I'm paying for it. Apparently very popular. So conviction summary, count five, possess or transport any wildlife, 6x6 mule deer, unlawfully taken. Count seven, possess and transport 6x6 mule deer without a valid tag. The court's Navajo County Superior Court. Plea on counts 5 and 7 are not guilty. Court findings were guilty to possess unlawfully taken 6x6 mule deer, and count 7 was dismissed per plea agreement. Court fine of $300 on December 3rd, 2019. Actions to be considered, probation, jail time, and other requirements are the same as previous. Action to be considered, revocation of license, take YLI pursuant to RS 17340, require completion of our education course pursuant to RS 17245, civil damages of no less than $3,207.36 for the loss of one mule deer pursuant to RS 17314. Finally, we have docket number 2020-0045, name of Thomas Purington, same address as the previous. Conviction summary, charge count one, knowingly take 5x4 mule deer during a closed season. The court's Navajo County Superior Court. Plea on count one is guilty. Court findings were the same. Sentenced to pay a fine of $300 on December 3rd, 2019. Probation, jail time, and other requirements are the same as the previous. Actions to be considered, revocation of license, take YLI pursuant to RS 17340, require completion of our education course pursuant to RS 17245, civil damage is no less than $3,207.36 for loss of one mule deer pursuant to RS 17314. The case officer is available by video, Officer Terrell. Do you have any questions for me?
Anybody have any questions of Gene or the officer? None, Gene. Thank you very much. Is there a motion?
Chairman, yes. I make a recommended motion for license revocation regarding Thomas J. Purington, if I may.
Oh, proceed. Thank you.
I move that the license and or license privileges of Thomas J. Purington to hunt, fish, and trap in the state of Arizona be revoked and he be denied another for a period of 5 years for docket number 2020-0042, a period of 5 years for docket number 2020-0043, and a period of 5 years for docket number 2020-044, and a period of 10 years for docket number 2020-0045. That his current license be suspended as of the date of this hearing, that it be revoked as of the date on the order as signed by the director, that it be required to complete a hunter education course and provide proof to the department before applying for any other license to hunt in this state, that the department shall be directed to collect civil damages and or civil action against Thomas J. Purington to collect the total amount of $6,414.72, which would be $3,207.36 for the loss of one mule deer, docket number 2020-0043, $3,207.36 for the loss of one mule deer, docket number 2020-0045. And I further move that the director, as secretary of the commission, be directed to sign and issue a finding of fact, conclusion of law, and an order in this matter pursuant to the motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Carries 5-0.
Mr. Chair, thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Mr. Chairman, that is the last agenda item we have.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr.
I just want to take a second to thank you for your service as chair. Obviously said something earlier, but appreciate you running these meetings and sometimes now having to run them from afar, which is not easy. And thanks for your leadership during this time and always your gentlemanlike conduct in dealing with the rest of us, the gaggle here. I do appreciate it, and thanks for being willing to provide that service.
Thank you, Commissioner Davis.
I, too, would echo that. Being the chairman is not an easy job. It creates a lot of travel and a lot of time, and Eric, you've stepped up, and state of Arizona is better for it. Thank you.
I too. And I look at it as a mentoring. I'm a rookie plus 2 months, so I still have the rookie label. But your help through the last year and advising and kind of directing, I appreciate all the effort that you put into that. So thank you, Chairman Sparks.
Chairman, I thank you for just going on ahead and putting up with the incredible number of dumb questions a new guy asked And thank you for taking me by the hand and explaining law to me a little bit more clearly so a guy that sits in the dark all day could understand a remedial class. So your patience is appreciated.
I inherited the job, and I inherited all the advice from the other commissioners prior to myself, and it really makes a big difference. But you guys have all got a lot of work ahead of you, and you'll do a great job. So thank you.
Mr. Chairman, with that, I think all we have left is a motion to adjourn.
I will make a motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
So moved.